What decorations did you get?
Well, I got, first of all, I got about 6 service decorations, and I got a mention in dispatches. I was put in for a military cross in Italy, and in Germany, rather, and everybody told me that, and my CO told me he put in for a military cross. When these recommendations get to headquarters, I think they must ration them out. I'm sure they do, literally, maybe in a nicer way than that, but if they've given so many, they did. And anyway, I ended up with what they call a mention and dispatch. It's an oak palm leaf that's attached to one of my battle stars. And I had 6 of those, the France and Italy, the only star, the France and Germany star, the 39, 49, 45, whatever. And I don't recall the exact names of them, but I had 6 theater stars and a mention and dispatch. You're published in what they call the London Gazette. It comes out in London. My name is in there for actions, for the last action where I was shot in the nose. And they detail that. They give a little couple of paragraphs to whatever happened there that night as it came through on military dispatches. Yeah. So anyway, that pretty well sums it up. I'm sure I got a lot of gaps in there, but I was glad to... it was fun.
The story of your unit then was recorded by... somebody in a book called 55 Axis?
Yes, this same Major Strome Galloway, who, by the way, had a rough time getting promoted. He was a newspaper civilian type of fellow, and he was a major as long as I knew him and never did get past that. He ended up commanding that unit whenever they were in a snafu in between COs, but he never got to make colonel, and he never really got the full command of the unit. And so he ended up writing a history of the unit called... 55 Axis, which was the code name we used to find ourselves as we moved around behind the front lines. And he's mentioned me a couple of times in there, including, I think, the time I was wounded in Italy and also the time I was wounded, certainly through the nose, he mentions that.
Did you write any letters home?
Yes, I'm sure I did. Letters were highly censored, and you certainly didn't do any letter writing when you were actually in action. But when they wanted to give you a break, quote-unquote, you'd go back 1,000 yards. At least you were out of sort of mortar range. And you would go back there, and there would be tents is about all. And remember, it's wintertime, and it's cold, and it's miserable. But at least you could get some hot food back there, and you could write some letters on these airmail things. And I suppose those were sent. I'm sure the letters I wrote were mailed to Phyllis and my mother and relatives and things like that. And where they are now, who knows? I've never seen them. Never seen them since. But we did have some exciting times and some scary times. But overall, it was real exciting. Except you tend to forget the really bad times. But there were bad times when you lose a whole company of men. It was really bad. For the next weeks or few weeks or so, it was pretty glum around there, and you didn't have a lot of good feelings. And I'm skipping over things like when I first crossed the Rhine River to come up to the front line in Holland there. And remember, the Rhine goes through all those countries. It goes through France, Germany, and the borders Holland, and it's just a big river over there. But anyway, when I was coming into that front line and I was walking through a field, the unit that had preceded me had a heavy action. And I remember coming across a cluster of I think about 4 men who were laying feet to feet, literally. Some sort of a heavy mortar had landed in amongst them as they were stopped there talking, I guess, and killed them all. And it was kind of tragic. You see their shoulder patches. And in the Canadian Army and the British Army, you could tell where everybody came from because their regiments had names, not numbers. And if it said, for instance, the 48th Highlanders, you knew they came from Toronto. And if it said the Royal Canadian Regiment, you knew where they came from. And so you could read their patches and see what part of the country they came from. And so you see a lot of stuff like that, which was not very memorable.
It's probably easy to sometimes forget about just how cold and miserable and how terrible the food was stuff during months and months of frontline action, too.
That's the worst part, actually, is the terrible food. Mostly they can't get hot food up to you, but when they do, I must hand it to the cooks and everything. They really did try, and some of them were pretty brave, others were not, but a lot of them were... And they would try to get stuff up to either on the backs of mules in some cases, certainly not on jeeps too close, because any motor noises would attract enemy fire immediately. So they had to pretty well lug it up there in huge aluminum containers. Either by the time they got there, it was cold, and it was usually just some sort of heavy, what we'd call today, manhandler soup or stew or something, and hardtack, bully beef, hard candy, stuff like that. It wasn't too good, really. And the most valuable thing was a pair of dry socks. I remember we did so many river crossings. Most of them you just wade through up to your chest, and then try to keep an extra pair of socks dry, either under your helmet or somewhere, because your feet would get to be in very bad shape, in very serious shape, if you couldn't get them dried out.